God's grace to us as we start a new year again in His grace and love and peace. Amen. I thought to start this year after such heaviness in the past year of everything that's gone on for us, social distancing and doom scrolling and pandemics, all those other things, I thought we might start with a lighthearted and a generous moment, if you would. So what I would encourage you to do right now is to take out your wallet or billfold and hold that in your hand for just a moment. I'll go ahead and do that with mine. We just sang there about making those offerings, right? It said, should we not give him in costly devotion? So let's grab our little wallets or our handbags, whatever it is. Now, I'd like you to pass it to the person next to you and then give from that wallet as you have never given before. Ready? Okay. It'd be real easy to be generous with someone else's money is the idea. I thought we could use a laugh to start off 2021. The truth is, what I hope we could use, what I hope we realize we all need, is even more than laughter, the joy of the Lord that can give us strength. What we need even more than our strong convictions of grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, is lived out convictions where we're shining like the star there above Bethlehem's house and manger, that Epiphany star that we celebrate on this Epiphany Sunday. The scriptures are so interesting that we have the Old Testament reading from Isaiah about shining. Then you have the Apostle Paul talking about his experience of this mystery, this awareness of what it is that God is doing through him. And of course, then the gospel story of the wise men coming. I especially find myself drawn to the Ephesians passage, and you may want to later on today look in your own Bible, but if you will look there, you'll notice that Ephesians 3 verse 1, our first verse in the epistle, is Paul starting off. He's about to pray a prayer, and you can see that when you get to verse 14, but before he even gets to the prayer, his mind suddenly says, wait a minute. I think we just need to remember one more time. We need to pause and remember again just how amazing this mystery is, that God has so loved the world that he's not only given a Savior to the Jewish people, but a Savior to all people. It's very possible that if the Apostle Paul had not had his heart open and ready to take that new mystery that God was revealing to him and share it out with the known world, we might not have worldwide Christianity today. You and I might not be Christians today if it wasn't for his realization of just how awesome that mystery of God's love and his light was. As Paul, who writes about that and describes it, he does so by mentioning in the first verse of Ephesians, he calls himself a prisoner. Now remember, Paul's writing this while he's in jail. Well, he's in a rented house, but it's house arrest because chained to his wrist 24 hours a day is at least one Roman soldier. He could have guests come to this house that he paid for, but he was still a prisoner of Nero, waiting for the trial when the Jews would bring their charges against him. But interestingly, in Ephesians 3, he doesn't say, I'm a prisoner of Nero, emperor of Rome. He says, I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean he thinks that Jesus has put him in punishment for his sins. But what it means is, just as he is bound by a chain to a Roman soldier, he says, the more important bond in my life is that Christ Jesus has grabbed hold of me, and I'm grabbing hold of him with all the grace that he gives me back. He who endured the cross and the grave has grabbed me with his love and his light and his mercy, and he's not letting go. And I will serve him, I will share him, I will shine for him in every situation. It's really quite remarkable. He sees himself, as Philippians 3 reminds us, where our citizenship, our real understanding of who we are, is not just that we are Americans, not just that we are Texans. Both of those are great blessings. But our real citizenship, Philippians 3 tells us, is in heaven. You and I are dual citizens. We have two passports. We are Christ's because of the mystery of his love. It's really also a powerful statement because in the ancient world, there was so much contempt. You know, we can maybe get a tiny little vision of this for how Longhorns sort of have contempt for Aggies and vice versa. You know, how Texans maybe have a contempt. Well, we can't say contempt. It isn't really contempt for the rest of the country. It's just an awareness that we're better than all the rest of them. And we try not to make it too obvious or too condescending. But in the ancient world, there was so much contempt way beyond anything you've ever seen between Aggies and Longhorns and vice versa. The Jews had so much contempt for the Gentiles. In fact, there were just two groups of people. There was us, the Jews. There was them, the Gentiles. Gentiles means the nations, means everyone else. Because we were God's chosen people and they, well, living in darkness, sacrificing their children to false gods, bowing down to idols of wood and stone and all the other manner of evil. So much contempt that for the Jews, the best case scenario for the Gentiles was that they would bring their offerings one day to the Jews as God directed them. We heard that in the Old Testament reading. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you. The riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, and from Sheba will come gold and incense. That they would bring their treasures to the Jewish people. That's how much contempt. And of course, the contempt went the other way. It isn't just the ancient world, I think, that has that issue of us and them and contempt towards others. You know, we have the political parties not just disagreeing with people about ideas or ways to solve problems, but just objectifying other people, slapping labels on them so we don't have to think of them as human beings anymore. We can just flat out reject someone as a fascist or a radical leftist or a deplorable. There's so much hate and contempt out there. And somehow, if we outshout each other, if we out-objectify each other, then our message will win. What Jesus tells us, what today's readings tell us, is that God's great mystery is not about outshouting each other. It's about outshining each other. This mystery he describes, this beautiful mystery, and there's so much wordplay here about light in this reading. This mystery, when he says, the mystery of Christ, which was given to me to make known to people in all generations. This mystery that is described in verse 8 as the boundless riches of Christ, or I like how one translation puts it, the full story of God, which no one on earth can tell. The boundless mystery. There's so much grace. There is so much love. There is so much light. For over all of our world's darkness, it's more than any of us could ever tell or experience. Or in verse 10, that God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. There's plenty there to unpack, but let me grab one word. First of all, manifold. The original word behind that isn't just that it means many different ways. It means literally many colors. Many different colors of God's wisdom, many different colors of his kindness, colors for the different seasons that we find ourselves going through. The love of God that comes through in blues and purples when we're in our periods of depression or sadness, struggle or grief. The level of God's light that comes through in the yellows and the golds in moments of celebration and great peace. The level of God's light that comes through in shining red to remind us of the blood of Christ shed and sacrificed for us on the cross. The many colored wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Here in the earthly realms, we figure if we can outshout each other, we win. If we can outsmart each other or outspend each other, we win. But what we're called to do is not convince any political or earthly leader. I don't have any responsibility to call up the president or call up Governor Abbott or call up Judge Hidalgo and try to logic them in or yell them into the kingdom of God. And you don't either. What we do have is this idea that this grace of God, this manifold wisdom, this many-colored blessing of God's wisdom, we make known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Can I try to unpack that or give you Jerry's paraphrase of that? The ones I'm convincing that God's goodness and grace are really true is the God who gives it to me and the devil who's trying to steal it from me. When I show back to God how much I am loved by him by shining for others, he sees and knows, yep, my love's working. It can change even a rascal like Jerry and all the other rascals besides. When the devil sees it, he goes, I've tried to tempt him. I've tried to distract him. I've tried to lie to him. And I couldn't do it. He's listening to the wisdom of God, this wisdom shown through Christ's weakness on the cross, or so it looks weak, him suffering and dying and helpless. But it's really the great strength of God's grace. Jesus weak so we would be strong. Jesus empty so we would be full. Jesus made poor even as his lifeblood pours out so that we might be made rich in his righteousness. When we show to God, yeah, it's working, Lord. I'm shining because of you. When we show to the devil, no thanks, I don't need your temptations and lies. I have the real wisdom. We're showing to the rulers of the heavenly realms just how true God's love and his wisdom really is. And we're doing so. And how do we do this? How do you and I do that here in 2021? The last verse, I think, gives us a clue. In him and through him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I don't have confidence in and of myself. I know my sins. You know yours. All kinds of things to feel guilty of or ashamed of. But because of him, because of Jesus, and through faith in him, I can approach the Lord with confidence. Satan can try to say, I don't deserve to come to his altar. He can try to say to you and me, we don't have any right to be here. We're nothing but hypocrites, all the past ways we've lived. But God says we are forgiven. God says we are loved. God says, and Martin Luther, I think, put it so well. Oh, Satan, you forgot a few of my sins, but that's okay. God forgets them all through Jesus Christ. We come with confidence and freedom and approach God to get that grace again. And then as we do that, how wonderful it is that God doesn't choose through banners behind airplanes. He doesn't choose through banner ads on Google or Facebook or other places. He chooses that through the church, through people like you and me, his many-colored wisdom, his multicolored love can show to all people, red and yellow, black and white. They're precious in his sight, and they all can approach Jesus with freedom and confidence. He wants to show that through us this year, friends. He wants that to be what shines in us, that hope, that confidence, that freedom, and us holding out that light. Like those wise men, when they found Jesus, the NIV, I'm afraid, misses out on the strength of what the old King James rightfully said. The NIV says that when they found the house where the child was, they were overjoyed. That's a nice word. But you know what? I'm going to give you a little tiny Greek lesson. There are like three words of joy stacked in there in the original language. The King James does a really good job of translating and getting that through. They rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And that's how you and I can live. There are going to be days when we don't feel joyful because of our experience. But let the joy of the Lord come to you in the color, the mood, the moment, the circumstance that you find yourself in. Let it come to you again to remind you you're not alone. You're with him and he is with you. And he promises to always love us. That joy, that exceedingly great joy is what you and I can rejoice with that he holds us, he's worth searching for, and he's worth sharing. May we share him with all this Christmas, this new year, and forever. To his glory, amen. Now I'd invite you to join me. Let's do some shining, if we can, please, by speaking together the words of our creed. Let's stand if you are able. But God has given, made us his people through our baptism in Christ, living together in hope and trust. We confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.